Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices. Advices.
Advices Radio, I'm your host, Scott McNally. Advices Radio is presented by Naps Gear. Go to napsgear.org, check out all the bodybuilding supplements that they have to offer. It's all top quality stuff. While you're there, check out the community. They have more than just supplements, they have a community, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. Look at the entertainment section. They have laboratory tests, testing to see what the quality is of various products that are on the market. This is stuff that's not available everywhere. Also, check out their cycle video logs. They have blogs. They also have a picture contest coming up. So you can enter that picture contest and win one of eight prizes for $800 in product. So check out napsgear.org for all your supplement needs. They are big supporters of Advices Radio, so please check them out. Up next, the t-shirt giveaway. Go to the Advices Radio Facebook page and see how to enter. I'm going to give away at least one shirt per week. These are top quality shirts. They're not like your 100% cotton, crappy, rough t-shirts. This is a nice blended thin material. These shirts are by Next Level. They're very high quality. They were very expensive to make, and we're giving them away to you in this contest. So please check that out. All right, guys, let's get to the Q&A with S2H a little later in the week, Locked Up and Lifted, documentary-style episode that is featuring several interviews of guys that were locked up, including John Romano. Welcome back to Advices Radio Q&A. I've got S2H with me. What's happening, man? How you been?
I've been good. How are you?
Good. So what's new? It's been a couple weeks since we talked, and you got your training site up and running now, haven't you?
It is functional.
Okay.
We had an issue with the WordPress, because when you add plugins, it screws other shit up. And I'm not an IT guy. This is
really you're not.
No, I looked at the actual backside of it.
Yeah.
Thought I better not touch anything because it's gonna explode.
Yeah.
We had an issue with everything seemed to be good, and then we added a plugin. We had to secure because the site's in slides, so it's not like one giant homepage like most websites are.
Okay.
And to get the SSL security for the cart, all the purchased, plans had to be in one slide.
Okay.
And they had their own plugin to secure, everyone's information.
Yeah.
Purchased. So we did that and it seemed fine, but then it whited out all the posts in the forum.
Oh man.
And, my guy couldn't figure it out, so I just Googled it.
Okay.
WordPress whiteout. So I found it, and I sent him the link. So this is what you got to do.
So you figured it out, huh?
That's the second thing I've Googled and figured out.
Nice.
I didn't figure it out. I just read it and said, this is what you do.
Right.
It happens. So the adjustment should be made. He was doing it last night, so I haven't looked yet this morning. But once that's done and you can actually read the words,
yeah,
there shouldn't be an issue. We have people that have signed up and stuff already. It's just that
nice.
He was juggling. When you move these slides, I don't know. You have to put like we have a BNR slide, a whole slide.
Nice.
To the podcast. But when you put slides in, you have to have everything kind of in its own slide.
Okay.
And you can't move them up and down or whatever, but it's pretty ready to go. I've had a lot of people email me. A lot of people from when I was on the B&R show.
Okay.
You know, asking about signing up. And that people are asking, what are your price plan prices and stuff? I'm like, well, I don't want to really, like, start this email conversation about it because everything's going to have to go to the site anyway.
Yeah.
To go to the private forum because they get their own private thread that no one can see but themselves and the coach. So if I start on the email side, then I've got to move everything to the thread side.
And,
you know, for a new client, I just, you know, ask them, hey, let's hold off till Monday and let's get it started right. You know, not have information on one piece of equipment or one email or whatever, and then have to move it or
keep it all in the same place. Right.
Cause it's just like a log on a thread and on a board.
Right.
You'll be able to look back for, it could be 50 pages long and you can look back to a year ago, what you were doing and how you were then, where you are now, you know, so the client can, you know, educate themselves off their own thread.
Right. Which is great, man. Cause I mean, that's really what it's all about, is kind of tracking our progress, you know, seeing like what we've learned, seeing, you know, where things have changed, why they've changed. And that I, you know what, it a lot of times too, people want to know, when they begin working with me, you know, when I'm working as a coach, what are they going to learn? And sometimes that's a question you can't quite answer right away. It's more of like an experience you go through, and that's where the learning is. You know, it's like, I can't tell you everything that you're going to learn, but you know, you're going to learn how to adjust your body better, you know, through an experience like that. And that's cool, man, because yeah, the thread would allow them to go back and kind of chronologue that history, kind of see a whole timeline, huh?
Yeah. And you as a coach, if you're using text messaging, PM, email, and various communications with a client, sometimes things get, you know, tossed around and you're searching for what, you know, you did here and there. And
yes,
unfortunately I can't remember everything about everyone. So that's where the idea came from, was to use a thread.
I like the idea.
So it's good for me and for them, you know, we can through that.
I feel like we're like two old guys talking about technology here that we're just discovering, but I'm going to add to that by telling you that I just discovered the cloud for myself. I have my iMac, you know, desktop computer. I've got my MacBook, and I've got the iPhone. And so now I just save everybody's diets on the cloud. It doesn't help people from the other end. You know, obviously, you know, like you're talking about a thread where they can go back. But for me now, it's awesome, because when I'm talking to somebody, no matter where I'm at, I could just hop on the cloud and pull their diet up, you know, and I could look at all their information, boom, like that. Which to me, man, it's exciting. I feel like I'm jumping into 2014 here.
I used the cloud for a while. And then I read didn't have Android devices.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I read some things that the cloud wasn't exactly the most secure.
Yeah. World, you know what? I don't put anything on the cloud that needs to be secure. You know, if somebody wants to find out, you know, how I got somebody to win Central States, then I guess they could probably crack into the cloud and discover the formula. But there's no like banking information on there or anything like that, or secret plans to dominate the world. I keep all that stuff encrypted.
Yeah. Well, I had my only concern was had really nothing to do with, you know, clients.
Yeah.
I had my bank compromised.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I sat there on my tablet watching thousands of dollars go to the UK.
Oh, God. That sucks, man.
Yeah, I called the bank, and Visa actually blocked it.
Okay.
Before it got there. They accessed my... This is the worst. I was furious. I had never disabled phone banking, like calling the bank, you know, whatever, their people that work for the bank on the phone, you know, their helpers or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'd never disabled that option in my banking because I've had the same bank for years and years.
Okay.
And it's a major, major bank. So this chick calls up and says she's me.
Really?
On the telephone bank.
They must not have listened to your podcast, because I'm sure she sounded nothing like you.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't. All they asked her was my address.
Really?
And that gave her full, all they had that was access was I had several accounts, and they had probably swiped my card at a restaurant or something and copied it.
Okay.
And that's how they accessed one of my accounts. And the other three, she moved all the money from all the other three into one. And then they sent out what they call a feeler. And I didn't have a cap on that account. And they sent out, I think, a $500 or $1,000 feeler, they call it. And it went through. And when it went through, they went to town. And it was a lot of money.
Yeah. Did you get it back at
grand,
least?
Jeez. 40 grand, something.
Did you get it back?
Oh, yeah. It took about a week.
Okay.
For the bank to get us money back. Now, the bank offered to give us money and stuff, and we said no. We have some other stuff, so we're okay for a week. And I was pissed.
Yeah, I'd be frightened, man.
A female saying she's me.
Yeah.
And then worse, even on top of that, all you asked was my address. Because what they do is when they swipe your card,
yeah,
and they get your info, they go watch you pull out of the parking lot, and they see your license plate.
Oh.
And then they pull your information.
Yeah, yeah.
And off the internet where you live. And I was pissed.
Damn.
And yeah, we got it back, but it was one of those things. And then when I saw the cloud thing, originally, I'm pretty sure they've resolved a lot of these problems. This was a couple of years ago, and
yeah,
I saw the cloud could be vulnerable, and I'm kind of one of those types that I don't have much faith in things I don't know anything about. So I don't know much about the cloud other than it tells my phone to tell my tablet something.
You like your security?
Well, I like my money.
Yeah,
I've never felt more helpless in my life. I mean, literally watching money exit, refresh the screen. And
oh, God. So, hey, listen, I got a text from you last night, and you said, remind me to tell you what happened in my home gym yesterday. So what's this all about? I was going to ask you then. I was like, oh, tell me now. I was like, no. I'm just going to wait, and I am going to ask tomorrow. So I've been waiting to hear this story. What happened?
So I have basically, I hate these chain gyms. I've gotten to where I don't even like to go to them.
You don't like the cloud. You don't like the chain gyms.
No.
You sound grumpy this morning.
No, I mean, I've got to a point where I just got tired of the crowds and the...
I think we've all been there, man.
Getting overcharged for a crappy gym, really, to tell you the truth.
I mean, 24 Hour Fitness is... I think we've all been there.
They got us up to like $36 a month from originally like 19 or something.
Okay.
So I've been assembling, equipment, and I had some anyways. And I went out and bought some other stuff, some more dumbbells and different things. And I figured, you know what? I can figure out, I can get a pretty good workout in my office, which is, my house is a 1.5. So yeah. The upstairs is a game room, could be bedroom, full bath, has a wet bar and stuff. And I figured out, hey, I can get some pretty good training in up here on my own.
Okay.
Well, I had a stability ball, but it was slightly on the not inflated enough side for my weight.
Okay.
So I figured yesterday I was doing chest, and I'm gonna do dumbbell presses on the stability ball. The stability ball on my back, roll on it,
Yeah.
I haven't done those in a long time.
I haven't done those in years, and I don't use a stability ball that often, but it'd be different, something different to do. Sure. I follow you.
Well, I don't have a bench, so
I have
to improvise.
Okay.
It's either the floor or the stability ball.
I'll do some floor presses sometimes. That helps with my, I get that bicep tendon issue, like in my front delt. And the main thing I can do is not bring the bar or the dumbbell all the way down to my chest. So floor presses work really good for me because it stops, it stops at that 90 degrees. But anyways, I digress.
Over rotation. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's an over rotation where your bicep tendon connects back where your scapula is.
Okay.
And So anyway, I get on this ball and I do 50s. I got 60s. No problem. I get to this. I got 70s is the heaviest dumbbells I have right now.
Okay.
And I kick them up and I roll back. Well, my wife's watching the Cowboys game because she's a Cowboys fan.
Okay. And you're in Texas, roll back. So that's mandatory, yeah, right?
Cowboys suck. I hate the Cowboys. Texans. So I roll back and all of a sudden I start going back a little bit too far over the back of the ball. And I've torn my leg rim twice and everything. So I immediately just dump these 70s.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom.
Because you're not in a basement. This is like a regular upstairs floor, right? Yeah, yeah.
So I'm backwards on the ground, my back of my head on the ground. The ball is still like up under my feet are straight in the air, and these dumbbells are smacked. Yeah, I mean, they just crash into the floor.
Is it at least carpeted?
Yes.
Okay. So at least it's not like good hardwood or something, you know?
Yeah, next thing I hear about a second later, oh my God, are you okay? Yelling from downstairs.
Yeah.
She didn't leave the Cowboys game to check I said, I'm upside down. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, so it probably didn't sound that clear. And my wife comes up and I'm like rolling off of the ball. And she said, what in the hell did you do? And I said, well, you know, this and this. And she says, my wife's personal trainer. She said, I told you that ball was not inflated enough. You know, of course it wasn't.
Right.
It was pretty funny.
That sucks, man. I need to get a bench. I would love to be able to work out from home. I have a small amount of equipment, and actually I bought a bunch of mirrors last winter, and I have a really nice finished basement, and there's a couple of rooms off of it. I'm actually in one of those rooms right now. It's my, you know, set up as my recording studio, but I have another room that I turned into like kind of a posing room. And all it needs now is some weights, and it would be like the posing and gym room too, you know?
Mm.
I need like a power rack. That would be badass. And really a bench. I mean, if I had those two things, I could pretty much do everything I needed to from here, at least for some workouts, you know?
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who owns a gym, private gym, and he has some equipment he wants to sell. So I'm going to go look at it and nice. See what he's got. But I really just need one bench that like an incline,
right?
You know, it's adjustable, and probably an easy, you know, an easy bar and a few plates.
Okay.
And I pretty much am covered from then. I'm trying to drop my weight way down.
Oh, really?
My back's bothering me a lot.
And, okay. How far down? Like, what do you want to try to lose?
I'm looking probably to get down to about 210.
Okay. That'd be tight for you, man.
205. Yeah, I competed as a light heavyweight, so that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I mean, at 200, I'm pretty lean.
Oh, I bet.
And we're going on a trip in November, so it's to the beach.
Nice.
And I don't want to be the fat guy.
Well, dude, November is, you got like 8 weeks or so then, huh? I mean, it's the end of September right now. It's just about October, so you better jump on this, huh?
Well, I'm on it. We're walking every night.
Nice.
Most weeks, couple, 2-3 miles pretty fast. And I just hate, I don't know, I just can't, I hate it. I just have this thing with these chain gyms. They just drive me bananas.
Yeah. You know what? Back a few episodes ago, I recorded what I called The Death of the Hardcore Gym. It's a documentary style episode of Advices Radio. And I'd suggest you go back and check it out, man. You know, because I talk a lot about that. And it gave me a slightly different direction of thinking. And, you know, it does make me think twice about having memberships at places that are like these chain gyms and, you know, paying money to support those places, you know, that it's worth it to me to spend a little bit more to buy a membership at a family-owned place. And that's really what the hardcore gyms are. You know, they're family-owned gyms. That's basically what it is. And I love independent business. You know, independent business is, for me, you know, number one. So I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah, I just don't see how this gym has... I asked the general manager, I said, how many memberships do you have?
Yeah.
25, 30,000.
That's pretty good,
Okay.
man.
And there's two of this same chain in the area I live in.
Okay.
But if you go there at 5 o'clock, you can't even find a parking space, let alone a piece of equipment. So I started training later at night at 10, around 9:30, 10.
That's too late
And
for me.
yeah, it was kind of tough because I was having to get up early, and but I realized that at that time there was only 4 or 5 people in there, and they were all, big dudes training hard. It was semi-motivating until I had to listen to, 80s pop rock or some crap on the, I don't like to wear headphones when I train a lot of times
Okay.
because I don't have a, I have this big ass Droid. It's like, where do you put it? In your pocket? And it's, I don't know. But,
Yeah.
I don't need music to train really. And, but it just drives me, I don't know. I hate the place. You got 30,000 members and you got 10 year, 5, 10, 6, 7 year old equipment.
Yeah.
Can we have something like new here maybe? It's just drives me. Well, and the other one, the same chain is larger. Oh, the other thing
Okay.
that drives me, I'll just say who it is. It's 24 Hour Fitness.
Okay.
And they're not open 24 hours.
No, we don't have 24-hour fitness by me, but I would have assumed it was 24 hours.
Well, the big one that we have is open 24 hours. The
Okay.
small one, which is near my house, is not. I went in there one day on a Sunday at 9:30, and the guy's like, "We close in 30 minutes."
So it's like 18-hour
I
gym.
mean, talking about misrepresenting or
Right.
fraudulent title or whatever, it drives me nuts.
No kidding, man.
I just hate.
I don't
But
like.
I occasionally go over to the hardcore gym. It's pretty far from my house.
Yeah.
But I'll travel over there every once in a blue moon to get my motivation and see my old friends and that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. I like the energy of a good gym. It'd be hard for me to train at home consistently. Because even though I'm not going to the gym to talk and socialize, I like the energy of like hearing the weights moving and seeing people working hard and guys that look good. That makes me try harder, you know?
I can do it at home.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. I mean, I can get motivated. I sweated my ass off last night after I flipped over the ball.
Yeah, did you recover from that and finish your workout?
I did. Yeah, I did. My back's a little sore today, but it's been bothering me. My L5 has been an issue for a while, quite a while.
Okay.
It's been I need to have something done to it, but I don't really want to have it done.
You mind if
Do
I
you do the
ask you what you're doing for your supplementation for this cut to 200 pounds?
not just TRT.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
It's all in the diet
Oh, I
anyway.
have a growth prescription, but
Nice.
I've always had it. Diet. With me, it's eating enough.
Yeah.
I tend to be an under-eater.
That surprises me because you're a bigger guy, and so I figured that you would just naturally gravitate towards overeating. I'm an undereater as well, but it shows on me. I had always been like a real skinny ectomorph, and I think that metabolism plays a role in that, but I also think it's because I've always tended to undereat.
Ectomorph has never entered my body. Well, the thing is, if I don't eat enough, my body's going to store fat
Oh,
because
gotcha.
it's basic survival mode that your body has, that if you're not intaking enough, calories or food or quality food,
Yeah.
your body's going to store fat.
Right.
So it's amazing because I've tracked sometimes what I've eaten in a day. And I can get by on like 1500 calories and not feel hungry, but I don't lose any weight.
Yeah.
And there's enough supplementation. People don't think 200 milligrams of TRT is enough to do anything, but I don't lose muscle on it. It supports that. And I might go a little bit higher here and there, but 500 milligrams is, for me, is about the limit these days.
Right on. All right, you want to get to some questions here?
Sure.
All right. First one, it's a MK677 question. Surprise. It's a popular topic nowadays. He says, I'm stacking MK677 and YK11. Is there any effect by adding T3 and Clan into the mix? I feel like this is a very basic question. Would you agree?
It isn't to some point, but
the reason I mean,
he's cutting, or what's he trying to do?
I'm going to guess yes, but the reason I say basic is because these are all very, very different things. You know, your MK677 is, you know, a ghrelin mimic, and your YK is, in my opinion, pretty much like a DHT steroid, you know? And then the other two that he's asking about adding in, I mean, they're responsible for fat loss. So, you know, they're all very different compounds. What are your thoughts about this? I'm going to guess. Let's assume that he is cutting here.
Well, YK11 is a DHT-derived compound, but its main action is to increase follistatin.
You think that it's that big of a difference? You know, you think that effect or that action is in itself stronger than the fact that it's kind of like an androgen?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I can tell you for sure.
Interesting.
If you have real YK11.
Okay.
So he's kind of with the Clen and T3, he's looking to cut or reduce body fat with the MK677, you know, the mimetic, the GH mimetic. It's still not really, there's not enough information, in my opinion, to say that it has the same effects as exogenous growth hormone.
Sure.
on your metabolic rate. It may, but it tends to make you watery. And then you've got YK11, which in a sense is a myostatin inhibitor, and it's in result, you know, it's in pathway. So he's kind of cutting and bulking, and he's kind of on two spectrums in my mind.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, that's not four things I would put together.
Okay.
And I'm not a big T3 proponent anymore anyway.
Hmm.
So, it's not that I wouldn't say it works.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the most abused PEDs out there.
Yeah.
And people have to be real careful with that. You know, you can do some damage if you stay on it too long.
Yeah,
or use too much.
It's definitely one you want to be really careful with. You know what I just thought of now that you mention it? I could see it being super abused. And I think one of the reasons why is it is so readily available with all the research stuff on the market today. People think like, oh, I want to lose fat. And bam, Clen is like readily available. You don't have to have like a good source to pick up Clen. And you just buy it off the internet, off any of these research places. And whether it's dosed right or whatever, you know, good quality, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, it's there. And then they say, well, okay, I want to do more. What else can I take for fat loss? Boom, that's where the T3 comes in. You know, it's like anybody could buy T3. And I agree, man. It's a super strong, it's a powerful hormone. It could do, it could be very dangerous, especially at like high doses, long durations. But it's so easily available, I think that it can almost be deceptively dangerous. You know, people don't realize how powerful it could be just because it's so available.
Yeah, that and, you know, it's, if you're, it, I said, you know, I'm not going to say you know again, I swear.
All right, people, I'm going to count here. Let's see how many times he says it.
Anytime you're using liquids, I think we talked about this before, it's very hard to judge the dose sometimes.
Sure.
Either the solution's not suspended completely, or people will start eyeballing it.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled it this far, you know, on my set, you know, so they said, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to be pretty careful about how you're dosing it. You could be getting 25 or 75.
What did, what'd Skip say on PED? Take a swig.
Yeah.
Yeah,
At the end of the bottle.
yeah,
It's all sedated at the bottom.
yeah.
Now, it sounds to me the whole thing sounds kind of like it's going different directions.
Okay.
It's purpose. It might work. I don't know. Probably got those four compounds off a research
Yeah,
site.
true.
Where it probably came from.
What do you think about YK11 without using a test base?
You wouldn't have to.
Okay.
It's not suppressive.
Okay.
You know, actually, the end result is, to raise follistatin, which is lower somatostatin. Somebody could take it if it was, they had an effective YK11 and not use anything else,
Okay.
and get results. It's kind of like an MK. If you use quality MK, you can get good results off of it. I mean, if you've been on testosterone for 10 years, I don't recommend going, oh, I'm just going to quit taking it and take
Right.
MK. Okay, that's probably not going to work out too well.
Right.
Small test dose is always a plus if you're a male.
Yeah.
Female too, depending on how small it is.
Right.
Never hurt.
All right, I'll move on to the next question here. And my thought, I guess just to add my thought in there, I agree, man. I feel like it's kind of going in a lot of different directions, and I feel like you're probably right. These are just the things that are available to him, and that's why he's considering using all of them. But I agree, man. It is kind of a lot of different directions here. I mean, I could see the benefit of the MK677 and the YK11 together. You're working from those two different angles, GH and, as you said, follistatin, and as well as being like powerful DHT based androgen. And if you're trying to lose fat, I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. I can't really subscribe to it, but you're right. I could see at the same time, sure, you could get an effect, but I guess I'd just say that if you're going to add T3 to all this, to try to keep the dose as minimal as possible, like 25 micrograms, and you just use it to help replace natural production if you're already dieting hard. But I wouldn't drive it up too high. That's for sure. I'd be real careful. Always, man, no matter what your cycle is, try to use the minimum amounts of T3.
I had a client one time that hired me,
Okay.
and I sent out this really in-depth questionnaire. It's deep.
Okay.
Because, we all have had got clients that don't tell you something.
Yeah.
And 6 months down the road, they tell you. And it's a they didn't think it was a big deal, but it is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I had this client. He had been on T3 at 100, I think it was 100 micrograms for like 2 years.
Holy cow.
And I thought, wow, that's not a good thing.
Oh.
And we tapered him. I tapered him off of it
Okay.
slowly. And a lot of people don't believe in tapering T3,
No.
that you can just quit it and your thyroid will respond and recover quickly. And that is the case a lot of times when you're using lower doses, shorter amounts. But 2 years at that amount, in my mind, it was going to be an issue.
Yeah.
We did a tape. I tapered him off over several months,
Okay.
and it was more of a placebo thing, I think, in the client's mind. It was a safeguard. It was a, if I use this, I'm not going to get fat ever, so I just keep
Yeah.
taking. And it was a little bit of a struggle at first.
Okay.
They came around and thyroid kicked in and
He's lucky.
everything worked okay. Yeah, it was. That was probably the longest I've heard of anybody being on T3 at that, especially at that amount, for no
Yeah.
reason.
Right. Yeah, that's a ridiculous dose for that length of time, man. All
I mean,
right.
I like to use CleanBlast sometimes in
Okay.
the off season if you get a little chunky, maybe like 2 weeks worth.
Okay, I could see that.
Kind of move a little fat off
Keep the
and
calories
get things
higher.
going. Yeah. Because I hate pulling calories when someone's trying to put on muscle.
Right.
And it was just something I've used in the past. I don't recommend it all the time. Depends on the person.
Yeah.
it's I don't use it for 2 years though. You know, nothing to that extent.
Yeah, oh, I that's unheard of, man. That's definitely abuse. Next question here. Love the shows. Actually, listen every morning in the gym while doing cardio. So here it is. I'm 36 years old with 20 years training experience, lifting, and 10 years enhanced. I have my levels checked regularly and only ever ran into major problems. Knock on wood, I get extremely bad acne, but even worse, dry skin. So much so that I absolutely hate showering due to itching for 30 minutes after, but I do shower every day anyway. I am tired of it and have tried everything over the counter. I saw my doctor last week finally and have some acne cream, but it's still bad. Can you shed some light on this for me?
His estrogen's going up real low and then real high.
You think so, huh?
Dry skin, it's real low. He gets acne real bad. He's just probably not controlling his estrogen properly. He
Okay.
said his lab work was good, you know, what's good? I don't like high normal estrogen in
Yeah.
men, even if it's in range.
What's a
Keep
good
kind of
number?
steady 25.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's probably got a he's his estrogen is probably bouncing around. It's going real low. He's maybe using aromatase inhibitor and he's not using it correctly. He could be what did you say he was on? How much testosterone?
He didn't say specifically, but he said just been enhanced for 10 years. He gets his blood checked regularly. He doesn't specify what he's using.
He might need to split his shots up more.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Some people get are not real pin crazy, so they'll
Right.
just jam it all in one time every week
Yeah.
or 10 days, where he needs to space it out. I'm big on the Monday Thursday thing. Even if it's
Yeah.
200 milligrams, 100 on Monday, 100 on Thursday, take your aromatase inhibitor on Tuesday and Friday when the testosterone is aromatizing. That's about the point where it starts to aromatize the estrogen
Yeah.
and kind of cut that off right there and it levels it out more.
Yeah, I think that'd be a smart move, man. Definitely splitting your shots up. Sounds too like he's probably already prone to acne. You know, some of us just tend to get acne worse than others. I wonder what his doctor gave him for this cream. And I wonder, you know, how beneficial a cream is really going to be for him. I mean, you know, if this stuff is happening because of hormonal reasons, I suppose that the cream might help to dry up some of the existing acne, but it's definitely, you know, what you're talking about kind of changing the root of the problem versus just dealing with the side effects.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to figure out. There's not enough information in that question to really give him a good answer, but it's probably an aromatase inhibitor issue, the way he's using it. You know, some people take aromatase inhibitors when they just feel like their estrogen's high, and they kill their estrogen, they drive it down real low, and then it builds back up, and he might not have a really good set plan. A schedule for everything
Yeah, that
to
makes
make sure.
sense.
It's possible. My son is a teenager, so he has the cream, and I
Okay.
get acne sometimes on the back of my head, like my neck,
Oh, yeah.
and that stuff works wonders. It's prescription, some cream, that stuff will, you could take pain off with it, I think.
I've used a few different creams. I've used Retin-A, which was real aggressive, and you have to use that regularly to get an effect out of it. I've used clindamycin wipes, which were really good. But well, you know, once again, we're talking about an antibiotic there, so that's something that's going to take, you know, a couple weeks to work. And then, of course, you know, I mean, what else do they have? You've got like your benzoyl peroxide, and a lot of that stuff's available over the counter. And that's just going to add to the drying effect, really.
Another thing I found that works is the generic grocery store acne medicine, not the brand names. in the generics, a lot of times they'll have a little different mix of the, makeup of the compounds.
Okay.
And for some reason, the generic ones, whatever grocery store you should shop at, you know how they always have like the brand and then the
Yeah.
generic own brand, it's cheaper.
Are you talking about like the benzoyl peroxide creams?
No, this is the soap.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like Preparation H. If you get Preparation H generic own brand,
Yeah.
it has the same ingredients as the old kind.
Okay.
People that use the new Preparation H brand to try to tighten their skin up, it
Yeah.
doesn't work as well. It doesn't have the same
I've heard
ingredients.
that. Yeah, I've heard that. Huh.
So I think it's more of a scheduling issue probably for this person. They're not consistent in or consistently doing the right scheduling on their pins, their aromatase inhibitor in a certain way. And he could be using Arimidex, and maybe that's not the right aromatase inhibitor. It's not working well for him. Did he say how old he was?
I think he's 36 years old, and
So
he's
he's
been
probably entering a phase where his aromatase enzymes are increasing
okay.
to some extent in his body. That could be an issue too. I find Aromasin to be more effective than Arimidex
Yeah, you
at
like
that age.
that.
I do, except for pre-contest.
Yeah.
It's not as effective.
Yeah. I found that too, with the shot schedules. Even with like acetate ester, I've used Tren, and if I take it every other day, I will start to break out. But if I take the same dose split into everyday injections, the acne goes away completely.
Yeah, and that's I find that too.
Yeah.
I like every day. I'm not scared of pins, so
It's a pain in the ass, It's literally sometimes, but I agree, man. It's more stable that way.
I'm using 21 gauge 1.5s now.
Phew, no thank you. I feel like
I get
everybody's gone to like 1-inch pins now. I don't know anybody that, except for the old school guys that use 1.5 anymore. Everybody figured out they could get away with ones.
When you get enough scar tissue, you have to go for the bigger weapon, and it's in your mind.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not that big of a difference.
No, it's really not.
Mean, I can remember many times I've loaded with the 18 gauge, got
Yeah.
distracted, came back,
Oh.
forgot to switch the pin, just stuck the 18 gauge in there, and
Oh.
didn't even know it until it started going in real fast.
I'm cringing right now just thinking about that.
It's not that it's in a lot of people's mind.
Yeah.
But I don't recommend 1.5 inch unless you have enough muscle, because you can take a 1.5 in the delt if you're not that
Oh
muscular
shit,
and
yeah.
shoot the oil into your rotator cuff.
Oh God.
I had someone that did that one time.
Really?
And it wasn't real pleasant for a while.
Huh. All right,
Now.
I'll move on here to the next question. Hey guys, this is a strength question. What is the best way to increase my deadlifts? I can currently do three plates, but once I get above that, my wrists tend to hurt, along with having sloppy posture. Is it just time, practice, and perfecting execution, or will straps and a belt help? I have both, so what do you think would be the most effective way to utilize them if needed?
Well, one thing is he wants to look at his grip. Is
Yeah.
he over under? Is he double over? I was a good deadlifter, and I pulled overs. I never pulled over under
Okay.
my grip. I just couldn't. For some reason, it just felt awkward, and I
Yeah.
never liked it. And I pulled overs. And of course, we couldn't use straps in the competition, and my hand strength wasn't the greatest. It was okay.
Okay.
So he can work on his hand strength for one thing, even
Okay.
those squeezing tennis balls or whatever, to increase his hand strength. That's his either switch grips and try it, and see if your wrists bother you, or work on your hand strength. Most really good deadlifters I know, and I know some ones that can pull over 800, they don't generally strap up in training until they're in, let's say they can pull 825.
Okay.
Raw with no straps. They generally won't strap up until they get in the mid 700s in training. And that's so they can get, you know, the extra rep in without losing grip strength.
Right.
But when you have poor grip strength, you tend to slump and you don't drop your hips. And that's where, you know, the whole thing starts at your hands and kind of goes in your arms to your back. And it creates the whole problem starts there a lot of times. Okay. So he could try switching if he's over under to double overs. I would definitely recommend using straps if that's his, you know, 90% area.
Okay.
315 is four reps that he can do. And then practice posture. I mean, practice your form. Stick with like 135 and you know, deadlift into a mirror and look at yourself.
Yeah.
Or have someone watch you. And most of the time it's because you don't drop your hips far enough. And when you start to pull, you get over the bar. And that's what causes you to arc your back. And that's just horrific. That's an accident waiting to happen. I used to work with a lot of high school powerlifters, and I had a stepson that was a really good powerlifter. I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah.
He squatted 600 at 16 years old.
Wow.
And pulled close to that. But his form was perfect.
Okay.
And that was with no straps either.
Hmm.
And you have to work on the hand strength, you know, back the weight off some, get your form right, figure out, you know, what am I doing wrong? It's generally, he's probably not dropping his hips. He's getting over the bar.
Yeah.
A lot of guys like to roll the bar out and roll it back to them.
Yeah.
That's a worst thing you can do sometimes.
Really?
Struggling with posture, because it causes you to lean forward more.
Okay. That's what my issue is, man. I have a hard time getting my hips low enough. And I think for me, a lot of it has to do with flexibility.
Well, that, yeah, he can work on his flexibility, and he should be coming out with his hips. If his hips are low enough, he should be coming out pulling with his legs. The power starts from the ground up.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, when they have bad form and hunch over, they're trying to like leverage the weight up with their back.
Yeah.
Completely from the floor down. And that can be an issue. It's hard to say. I would say switch your grip and work on your hand strength and lessen the weight.
Yeah. I'll just play devil's advocate here and kind of throw out different ideas. I'll say use the straps, because, you know, if his goal is, I mean, it sounds like his goal here is strength, but if his goal is overall to have more strength so that he can get bigger, then I would say don't be afraid of using straps. I mean, if you want to do a powerlifting meet where you can't use straps, then obviously that's going to be an issue. But if your overall goal is to get bigger, I don't want to limit my ability to grow my back because of my grip. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah, that's a good point.
You're not
a competitive powerlifter.
Yeah.
Just use straps.
And I know a lot of guys are purists, you know, and some guys just like it becomes almost an ego thing for some people where they're like, you know what? No, I just want to be able to do it on my own and stuff. But you know what? That's not my goal, man. But you know, so I guess it comes down to what's important to him. I think you can make a good point too about like not using the straps until you need them. Although I'm kind of in the habit where I start strapping up on my first heavy set for everything on back day. So I'm probably the opposite, but you know what? Also though, like as far as forearm development goes, I've never had any issues. My forearms, they've always kept up pretty well for me. So that would probably be another issue too. If he is doing this, you know, for the end result of having a good physique, I guess your forearm development and size probably probably plays part of a role in this too, you know. If he has skinny forearms and he wants to grow them, I mean, strapping up on everything probably isn't going to help that at all.
Do rack deads too.
Oh, I like rack deads. I could do those a lot easier. Pulling off the floor is hard for me, man. It's just hard for me to get down. Especially, and it's always, I've always had like SI issues in my lower back. That first portion, like what you were talking about, where you're using more power from your legs, that first like quarter of the rep is very difficult, very uncomfortable for me. But put it on a rack from like shin height, you know, mid shin, I'm much better.
I used to do a lot of rack deads with the bar set right at the top of my kneecaps.
Okay.
And that way I could, you know, get the full arch of my, like, arch and bend, you know, my rhomboid squeeze and everything.
Yeah.
And not get bent over so far. And we were using a lot of weight. And it was pretty effective. And the belt part too. He mentioned the belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be wearing a belt and strap it high.
Yeah.
People strap their belts around their waist and get a good belt too. That's another thing.
What kind of belt do you like?
I have an Enzer.
Yeah.
Well, I have two. I have a Cardio and an Enzer.
Okay.
So, I don't use them anymore because I don't deadlift.
Is your belt, are your belts tapered or are they the same width all the way around?
No, they're the heavy, you know, three prong, same width around.
Gotcha.
They're the powerlifting, what you'd see a powerlifter in a meet compete wear.
Gotcha.
And I strap it right above, right around the belly button area.
Yeah.
You know, there. It gives you the added support. It also causes you not to slump as much.
Hmm.
Also.
I can see that, yeah.
But form, his head could be down. That could be a problem too.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the bar coming up, and you, that's a problem. And also, a lot of guys deadlift, you should be bringing the bar up your shins. It should be on your shins.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't because they're not going to wear, you know, the power, you know, deadlift socks and scratch up their shins.
Wear pants. Yeah, you got to wear pants on deadlift day.
Keep that bar close to you. You don't want it wandering out. As soon as it wanders out, I don't care how strong you are, you're going to start to arch your back a little bit.
Hmm.
But there's some good powerlifters out there to you can watch some videos on. And just really just look at what they're doing. Stan Effering's one of them.
Yeah.
There's some actually a guy I know, Ryan Bracewell, who held the Texas state record up till recently. Someone beat it by 5 pounds a few years ago, a year or two ago. He does CrossFit now. Yeah. They don't have enough plates for him.
Yeah.
He broke everyone's ego in the CrossFit. All the, you know, the guys that ruin 315 for whatever they do.
Yeah, yeah.
He throws on like, you know, 495.
Oh, God.
500 and something. To do the same reps and people are like, oh, damaged egos everywhere.
You know, speaking of videos, if this guy wants to upload a video and send us a link, we'd be happy to take a look at it. You know, if I'm here, mm-hmm. you know, with S2H or I'm here with Chuck, either of these guys, you know, or the other people I talked to, if I had VJ on, all these guys, you know a lot about deadlifting. And I'm sure that everybody could probably advise a little bit better if they're actually to see, you know, what he was actually doing.
I mean, his form could be horrendous. I don't know. It could be decent and there'd just be a minor adjustment.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. And this is kind of a longer question, so I'm going to try to sum it up. He says, thanks for taking the time to answer my question. 32 years old, 5'11", currently 240 pounds at 8% body fat. I have been competing since 2011, and he won a title in NABBA. So far, as steroid goes, the first time I used was 2014 for a contest prep. You still could call me somewhat of a beginner in this realm, as my contest dosages never exceeded 1 gram in total. A typical off-season cycle would consist of basically 400 to 500 milligrams of test with 400 to 500 milligrams of EQ with Nolvadux daily for 12 weeks. Generally, I would do 2 12-week cycles per year. I'd also had my bloods done and everything was in range, aside from test being 3 times the normal range as expected. So my question is now to figure out the most optimal way to run my cycles during prolonged off-season periods. He said he doesn't compete every year. He said, I started my contest prep in December and finished up competing in April. Ever since, I have been on a cruise dose of 250 milligrams with 40 milligrams of Nolvadux. I'm assuming he's taking 40 milligrams of Nolvadux daily. I'm not sure what to do for safe, prolonged use to gain muscle at a steady rate. I know I never will be a top level guy, and I'm fine with that. Do I run 12 weeks on, 4 weeks PCT, 8 weeks off, and then repeat as required? Or B, do I cruise on 200 to 300 milligrams of test per week and when I do feel like doing a blast, run that for 12 weeks or 10 weeks with an anabolic, slightly higher test. And then basically he's asking, should he do that and then go back to blast or cruise? So yeah, he's got a couple options here. He's wondering if whether he should, I think what he's asking here is, should he blast and cruise or should he do a PCT and take time off? It's kind of a tough question to answer for somebody else, isn't it?
Yeah. He said how old was he?
He says he's 32.
I'm not much of a PCT person.
No?
As most people would know. I can see where if he's doing, I don't know much on 12-week blasts either.
Okay.
So one thing I found effective is, in the off season, is to do a four week short ester blast and then a 4 week just cruise on a long ester and then go back to the blast 4-4-4.
Yeah.
That's if you don't want a PCT. If you want a PCT, I would say that 2 12-week blasts equals, what is that?
24 weeks.
That's 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's half the year.
Yeah.
You're on that kind of borderline hormonal roller coaster that I hate about PCT. The Nolvadux, I can't see how his estrogen is in range.
Yeah, that was the first thing I wanted to address, and I knew you would too.
I just, unless he's got some kind of great genetic disposition not to aromatize testosterone,
which he's a big dude. He's 240 pounds at 8%, 5'11", so he's a little on the taller side, but the guy obviously has worked his ass off. He seems like he's pretty big, and he hasn't used a lot of gear to get there.
I still don't see how he could be in range.
Yeah.
And it depends on what kind of panel he's taken to. A lot of these guys buy the private, you know, panels, and they use female panels.
Right.
Well, the female range is a lot wider than the male range. So they may think they're in range.
If they're going by the reference range listed for a female?
Correct.
Gotcha.
And they're not. So he might not be optimizing his testosterone use, by letting his estrogen elevate. I think female range is what, 100, 90, something. It's pretty high.
It's high.
It's a lot higher than males.
Yeah.
So he could be at 75 and go, oh, I'm in range. Well, no, you're in the range of a female.
Yeah, I have a hard time understanding how he would be in range running Nolvadux. And just to explain to him, you know, Nolvadux is only going to bind to the estrogen receptors in your body, but it's going to have nothing to do with actually lowering estrogen. So you could still have, you know, a boatload of estrogen in your body, never slowing the conversion from all the tests you're taking. You're just not getting gyno from it because you're taking the Nolvadux.
That's a pretty high dose of Novodex too.
40, yeah.
Tamoxifen lowers your IGF levels.
Good point.
So if you're using 40 milligrams of tamoxifen year round, I just don't see how you're optimizing what you're doing, even if you keep it the same way.
Yeah.
I would go with aromicin again.
You love your aromacin.
Well, it doesn't affect your, I mean, you're already affecting your HDL with the testosterone,
Sure.
and Arimidex just multiplies that problem.
Sure.
So actually, I had a 7-panel blood work done recently,
Okay.
and I'm on aromacin. And my HDL, LDL, my total cholesterol, everything, you know how they do all those ratios,
Yeah.
everything was looked great.
Really?
It looked, I mean, it was, I was like, damn, is that my blood work?
Oh.
I'm looking at the hematocrit hemoglobin, it's all like 48. I'm thinking,
Yeah,
the hell just happened here?
yeah.
They must have drawn this from somebody else.
Yeah.
But nah, I've used the 4-week blast of the short esters, the propionates, TIP, whatever, short ester testosterone, maybe MPP or something.
Yeah.
Not in excess, 500 milligrams, maybe total 600. And then at the last week of that 4 weeks, in the middle of it, take 100 milligrams or so of a long ester. So when you go into the next 4 weeks, so if you're just
Yeah.
cruise can be 100 milligrams, 150, whatever. Kind of go into that, and then you start back in another 4 weeks of the short esters. It's pretty effective, but you have to make sure. A lot of people when they drop their doses tend to want to drop their food intake.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. You should actually increase, especially your protein intake, to compensate for, the loss of the anabolic, the lowering of the anabolics and stuff. I mean, 5'11" was 245.
240. That's 8%.
8% on DEXA scan or
He doesn't say, but when somebody says 8% online, and because he is a competitor, I give him a little bit more credit, but in general, I usually say if somebody says 8%, it's 7 to 13. We never really know, but 8%, so even figure if he was 10% at 240, that's still a
pretty
decent
good.
weight. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I would think at 5'11", if he competes, he's going to have to compete in the heavyweights, or he'd want to probably be in the supers. But if he walks around at 240, it's
Yeah, at
probably
8%.
attainable.
Especially if he hits some gear here. But he says, he knows he's never going to be top level. He doesn't want to go crazy with it. And he had written more down below. And one of his things is he was saying he doesn't want to like invest a ton of money in, doing crazy, massive cycles. I don't really think he needs to. I don't think it has to be crazy. The thing I'm concerned about for him is, does he want to make that commitment to running gear long term and relying on HRT? If he does kind of indefinitely blast and cruise, even if he's following, your protocol of the 4 weeks of fast cycle or fast acting esters, 4 weeks of short, I mean, he's still on, and if he does this for a year, I mean, it's gonna be harder to recover. Granted, he's 32 now. He's been doing this for a while. He's getting to that age. If he was 25, I would tell him to try to come off and recover. But I'm thinking at his age, man, I mean, at 32, you're getting to a point now, especially if you've been cycling on and off, there's a chance you're gonna need HRT anyway. So there is kind of like a decision he's gonna need to make for himself. Does he want to commit to HRT?
Yeah, it's the risk and reward. What do you I mean? There's people that have run one cycle and couldn't recover, no matter
Sure.
what their age was. And it's not something that I'm sure you get the question. I have too. What is my natural testosterone going to recover? I really can't tell you that
Okay.
because everyone's different.
Yeah.
I've known people that have run gear for 10 years and just dropped it cold turkey and recovered.
Yeah.
You're starting, but yeah, you're right. At that age, you're starting to get into the age range where recovery could be more difficult.
Sure.
So you have to decide to yourself, is this something I want to do the rest of my life? And I can tell you, I've been on TRT a long time, 16 years, whatever. And it's not glamorous. It's not.
No.
Sometimes I just like, it's just like, I don't want to. It gets less exciting, I can tell you that, as years go by.
Yeah, it's not something that I would recommend to, a young person to have to do for the rest of their life, that's for sure. He also mentions, too, that he might want to have another kid down the road. So there's that, that's a big question to ask. I mean, granted, at the same time, listen, I've seen plenty of people that have used HRT and still had kids. I've seen people have kids while on massive cycles. I think that, through Clomid and HCG therapy, that you could still get, your wife pregnant, but is it going to be as likely as if you were 100% clean and natural? No, I don't think so. What do you think?
I've had 4 kids on full auto blast.
Well, there you go, guys. I've seen it happen, man.
It depends on the wife, too.
True.
I mean, if she's fertile myrtle, if she just thinks about sex and gets pregnant.
Yeah.
Some women are much more susceptible to becoming, pregnant much easier. They're, the way their endocrine system is and everything and their hormones.
Yeah.
Mine must have, because I was on a ton of shit. All every time.
Yeah, I've seen it happen, man.
But I've also seen a pattern of people I've known over the years that had their wives have become pregnant and they were on a lot of stuff, and there's been some problems with kids born early, underweight, she's like that. I've seen that. Not a ton, but I would say it's more frequent than it would normally be for people that weren't using gear. My kids all came out ugly like me and big.
So. All right, I'm going to move on here. I'm a woman in her 30s. I've been training and dieting for several years. I'm happy with my progress, but I would like to utilize PEDs to go from looking good to looking my absolute best. My main goal is to increase muscle. I have no plans to compete and don't want to have a freaky amount of muscle or drop down to extreme low body fat. So my question is, what PEDs are best for women who just want to look their best and increase muscle slightly more than they would have been able to do naturally? I'm going to jump in here and give my opinion first, Scott. And it's just because this one's like, it jumped out at me a little bit. And the reason is because I'm not sure whether PEDs are what she wants to look at. I would really like to see what her diet looked like first. I'd like to see her diet. And also, I don't know what she means by looking good to looking my absolute best. And I don't know what she means by a freaky amount of muscle. Is a freaky amount of muscle like a figure girl? Or is a freaky amount of muscle, a bodybuilding female, Because
subjective.
Thank you. Yeah, all this stuff is subjective. So she doesn't want it. If we're going by like average normal standards, I'd like to see what she could do with the diet, because some people don't have an understanding of how much the diet could really push to make changes. Steroids are extreme things. Performance enhancing drugs are extreme things. So it's kind of a contradictory thing when people say, I want to use this extreme means to achieve something that's not that extreme. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. I don't work with a lot of females anymore. I do have a few female clients, and one of my female clients she's in really good shape. And going back to the part about not knowing what they wanted to look like,
okay,
she would tell me, I want to look toned.
Ah.
Toned in my mind is not toned in her mind. So I finally had her send me pictures of
what's like, tone?
what physique do you aspire to have?
Yeah.
And what she aspired to have was more of like a figure physique instead of just a leaner.
Okay.
Type, not as muscular physique. So figure to me is not toned, but in her mind it was toned. So we got that clear.
Okay.
And then her spouse is enhanced and he was wanting her to take some stuff. And I just told her, I said, you're not going to compete. You know, you just want to be in shape. You're a hard worker. She trains hard. She sticks to her diet. She's making progress. I just don't see any use in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
At worst, I would say austerin.
Okay.
Is a good option for females that don't want fertilization, a lot of side effects and stuff. Because, you know, even Anavar can do things to women that they don't expect. They hear it's all mild and everything.
Absolutely, but, it can.
You know, there's women are much different than men. You're not going to get the predicted or semi-predicted results from certain things.
Sure.
It just depends on the female. Postmenopausal, is she peri, is she 25? Age makes a big difference in women too.
Sure.
Has she had a hysterectomy? That makes a big difference because that basically makes her postmenopausal in a sense.
Right.
So it depends on that. With what she's saying, I wouldn't use anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she doesn't want to get to, so she asks a couple of things. The one is she doesn't want to get to too extreme muscle size. And the other is that she doesn't want to get too extremely lean. So my two thoughts are the things that would lead to more muscle size PED wise would be steroids. I mean, GH would fall in there too, to an extent, and possibly help with leanness. But you know, when you're talking about not wanting to do something that's that extreme, I can't justify the cost to use GH, you know? I mean, we're talking about, she doesn't want to take it too far, then you definitely don't want to invest thousands of dollars, you know?
Yeah. I mean, austerin would be the max limit I would probably advise her if she wanted to, really, really wanted to try something.
All right.
With the SARMs, you got to be careful too, because there's austerin and there's all those other versions, you know.
Oh, are there?
LGD. I can't even think of the nomenclature of it, but there's different nomenclatures to different SARMs.
Okay.
Or there's things that are labeled as SARMs that really aren't SARMs.
Sure.
So just straight austerin would be my only real thing I would tell her. Okay, that's probably something it's pretty benign side-wise. There's not many bad things can happen with it.
Yeah. What kind of dosing would a woman use for austerine or austerin, as you pronounce it, tomato, tomato?
Tomato?
Yeah.
It depends. Actually, there's one particular brand I like. I won't mention it because okay. I don't think they're a sponsor or anything.
Okay. You can throw it out there if you want to, man, because that's fine by us.
Well, the one I found that worked the best was the Asta RX by Iron Mag Labs.
Okay.
And that woman's, I'm not a big liquid person, as I've mentioned before on other shows or this one possibly.
Yeah.
That one was pretty effective. In clinical trials, it took 33 milligrams to begin to shut down a male's HPTA.
Okay.
Slightly. It wasn't completely shut down. Females obviously don't have that problem. So I forget what their dosing per cap is on there, but around that.
Okay. Yeah, so Iron Mag's Labs, you guys can reach out to me at Advices Radio, Scott McNally, and we can start our sponsorship up today. That'll be great.
I think they still carry it.
Yeah.
all these laws and stuff and people suing each other. Who knows?
But nonetheless, so that gives some good information. I've had some guys that were natural that have used Osterine, and I've seen some decent results. I mean, it definitely works. So, and like you said too, man, it's a very mild compound. I think it would definitely be much more mild than Anavar would. And Anavar still, on the as far as steroids go, on the the lower side effect end.
Yeah, I saw I was watching a video because I watch all these videos now. I don't know why. And Dave Palumbo was talking that his thoughts were that women, that's as far as they should go with Anavar. I mean, I think in some cases that's the case, but like a postmenopausal female, she can take a fairly decent amount of testosterone in a week and not get fertilization and benefit from it because her estrogen levels are nothing.
She just has to be really careful with it still, Anytime I think girls are taking tests, but you're right that, definitely Anavar is not the end all be all, but for this lady, it would be the as far as I would go, that's for sure. And maybe only after too, like after she's tried the Osterine and she sees what she thinks about that. And once again too, I would be curious to see what her nutrition looks like and what her development looks like as well. Maybe we're talking to somebody that already, looks like a bikini competitor, or maybe we're talking to somebody who quote unquote looks like a normal, person still.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Most people are more critical of themselves
True.
than what they really look like.
True.
Was it body dysmorphia?
Yes.
They always think they're never, it's never, they're never where they should be when really they look really good from a perspective of someone who knows what they're looking at. It's hard to tell. Yeah, but diet, training, a lot of women overdo cardio. I'm married to one.
Does she get pretty lean though, too?
Yeah, she's got a six pack.
So it's hard to argue with them when they get the results, But I agree though that it gets overdone.
But it's taking a toll on her knees. Stairmaster, level 15 for an hour.
Oh, God.
You hang with that. Good luck.
All right, next
I've tried.
question here. Fan of the show, BNR, Medical Muscle, PED. Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. He says he's 18 and he's been training naturally for almost 4 years. He's planning on starting gear after he turns 20. He says he wants to start out slow, and I've heard different opinions on what your first cycle should be. Some say 250 milligrams of test for 10 to 12 weeks. Some say 20 milligrams of Anavar for 8 weeks. Some say Anavar and Primo, etc. What do you think the smartest way to go about this would be to gain 10 to 15 pounds? And then he adds, without shutting yourself down or burning your receptors out right away. Greetings from Italy. So hey, greetings from the Americas. What's up, man? What do you think about this, Scott? And specifically too, I want to address that end portion where he says, without shutting yourself down or burning your receptors out right away. I think that has to do with education right there, and we could probably clear some stuff up with that part too.
Well, 250 milligrams a week is going to shut you down. That's 99% of the time. Second, he needs to get his blood work done, and I would bet that his natural testosterone levels are as high as 250 milligrams it's going to take him. So all he's doing is using 250 milligrams to substitute what he's actually has naturally,
Yeah, that's a good
and
potential right there.
then puts himself in a position to cause further, damage later down the road, shutting himself down fully. I am 20 years old. I mean, I can't be that hypocritical. I started when I was 18, but I didn't know crap. If the 20-year-old came to me and said they wanted to run a cycle, I'd tell them to go run a cycle of micronized creatine and lift heavier and take some leucine and eat clean, but eat plenty, get a good solid diet. 20 is not an age to be taking testosterone unless you're hypogonadal or have some kind of, noodle or something or tumor, benign tumor that's causing your testosterone levels to be in the low range for your age.
Sure. At the same time, we're also in a world where, he's got the access, I'm sure. He could do this if he wants to, and he could do it regardless of whether we want him to or not. So my question always comes up, so if this guy is going to do this, then should I educate him or should I tell him to just listen to me, which he's probably not,
Yeah, if he's going to do it, he's probably going to need to do more than 250 milligrams.
I'd
If
agree.
he is, if his testosterone levels are the normal for a 20-year-old,
Yeah.
because right at about that age is when you're peaking, or right around there. So if he gets his lab work and his natural testosterone is 1,250, well, you're going to have to use more than 250 milligrams.
And you know what, too? You make a point here, and I think it backs up the reason that you wouldn't want him to cycle at that age. His test is at these optimal levels right now, as long as he's a healthy average kid. Once he runs that cycle, no matter what we take, it's gonna shut you down. All these hormones are all derivatives of testosterone, male hormone, and once your body senses that stuff in your system, then your natural production is either going to slow or stop. So you're going to affect what is probably peak optimal performance right now. And it could cause more issues down the road. So, that's something that he really needs to consider, What about
Yeah, I
oh, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you think about the his idea where he says, Anavar at 20 milligrams for 8 weeks, versus, this is one option he's heard, versus running like a full out cycle.
I wouldn't. 20 milligrams of Anavar for 8 weeks. I don't see any use in it.
Yeah, you know what? And here's my thought. My thought had always been for years and years, if you're gonna do it right. My first cycle suggestion would be, something along the lines of what you're saying here, Scott, of testosterone, probably 400, 350 to 500 milligrams for, 12 weeks to get on using an anti-aromatizing agent, do a post-cycle therapy, and then get off and recover. I think that understanding how your body recovers is just as important as understanding how to use the drug itself. But what about somebody who has been training for a while, they want to experiment with gear. If you were to just take, like, let's say 20 milligrams of Anavar or 40 or whatever, and you ran that for like, and he said 8 weeks, but let's say you ran that for like 4 weeks, you're natural otherwise. I imagine you could probably gain a little bit more than you would have been able to otherwise, and then come off and, recover, make sure that you're not shut down and everything, take plenty of time off. I wonder if you could progress faster that way and kind of get a taste for cycling without going all in and getting completely shut down and experiencing that whole process.
Well, I mean, as a male taking Anavar only, DHT derived drug, you're going to lower your testosterone.
Sure.
So you're kind of, I don't see the use in
Okay.
it. Bang for your buck, whatever you want to call it. Risk for reward. Now 20 milligrams of D-ball. I know guys that have used that pretty successfully by itself,
That was
but
my first cycle.
It's a different drug.
it was a lot of water, but I did good on it too.
One thing he can read about is you'll see a lot of the former pro hormones that are on the market that are no longer, they're almost all DHT based.
Okay.
And you'll read about guys that have logs and they'll be 4 and 5 weeks into it and they'll start feeling a little bit sluggish. And everyone goes, "Oh, it's your liver, it's your liver." Well, no, their testosterone's dropping because they're using only, it's like running a cycle of Masteron by itself. It's basically the same thing, and it can be problematic. I see no use in running 20 milligrams of Anavar
Okay, fair
for a
enough.
male.
Fair enough.
Only bad things.
All right, last question that we have time for today, and I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about this one, Scott. This is back to our MK677, and he says MK677 has been taking the world by storm, which I would agree with. But a few very respected forums seem to have some concerns about the long-term effects of this drug on the brain. Can you please advise if these findings are something that I should be concerned with? So he provided a link, and I clicked on that. And basically, what it looks like it's saying is that maybe it could create some desensitization over time to the production, the ghrelin growth hormone axis. That maybe this is creating like a stress that then shuts it down in the future or lowers production. Have you heard anything about this, Scott?
I read a article on it. It wasn't a message board article. It was some Harvard, whatever, some PhD somewhere.
Okay.
And I put it in the scope of just about every PED except for a few. I mean, testosterone's pretty well known now because of the its long use in the AIDS community for muscle wasting. So there's a lot more information on testosterone and long-term effects.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing all these different kinds of drugs come out like the Osterin was one of the first ones that GCX was trying to bring out that didn't have some of the negative effects of testosterone.
Yeah.
I mean, how can, I can see the point in it that taking something too long and too much of anything is not good for you, and that it could, it does possibly affect the, I think it's like the GH releasing cells, and it affects your brain in your brain.
Yeah.
But is there, I mean, show me a 10-year study, show me a 1,000-person clinical trial. I'm skeptical in a way when you don't see, it's an opinion, the article. It's not a factual paper that has that clinical trials to support it.
Yeah.
So, could the person writing it be correct? They very well could be. I mean, DNP was a legal drug for 20 something what years
Yeah.
before they banned it. It could be possible. I'm not going to say it isn't. I'm not going to say it is because there's just not enough information, factual data, to show that it, MK677 will cause an issue in the brain.
Yeah, that's the problem I think with a lot of this new stuff, like this or the YK11 or even the Osterine. I mean, there's more studies on the Osterine, but still long term, man, we're just not seeing it yet.
Yeah, I don't think we are. And, kind of kick back to the Osterin. I think the reason that GTX kind of pulled it is because it wasn't effective enough in unless you got in higher doses for males. And but this study I read, it may not be the same one that this person read. There's not too many of them out there.
Yeah.
But it was an opinion. It was someone's opinion. Now, of course, the person's got a PhD, which doesn't mean shit to me because, sorry to all PhD people. Some of them are really smart, but some of them just make opinions to make opinions. And I would have to see some real factual data, actual clinical trials and that kind of thing,
Yeah.
to really form an opinion that was strong.
Yeah, I think that for us in bodybuilding, a lot of us are kind of on the, this is where the studies come from. We're jumping into all these things like well before anybody else does, we're willing to experiment on ourselves well before there's any human trials done. Hell, sometimes even before there's animal trials done.
Oh yeah, we are our own guinea pigs to an extent. There are some research facilities, legitimate research facilities in Florida, that if you are a bodybuilder and you use steroids or HGH or whatever, insulin, they will welcome you with open arms.
Really?
And pay you to come down there and get stuck with needles and blood drawn, put you up in the embassy suite or whatever, everything. Pay the whole thing. Because they're trying to find real, you know, real test subjects.
Yeah.
I got offered by one.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah. Why'd it was by fluke.
Okay.
I ran into a, this is great. I got to tell this story.
All right. Yeah, please do.
My one son is a really good basketball player. So he got invited to a major university to their basketball camp.
Yeah.
It's in North Carolina. I'll narrow it to that scope.
Okay.
So when you drop the kids off, I think he was in the seventh, going into eighth grade. So he's old enough that he knows what he's doing. They tell the parents, go away. They have chaperones for all the kids, go away. I'm like, oh, this is great. They give him a dorm room and a roommate and everything. And so they had a nice hotel with a golf course at the university. And the hotel was my bill was huge when I left. I like to play golf, so it was great. I went and played golf, met some other guys. So I'm sitting at the bar. This is when I used to drink. And this lady's sitting next to me. And we're watching the Miami Heat play whoever it was. When Ray Allen made like those 3 three-pointers to win the game in the playoffs. People that know basketball will know it. And she turns to me and she says, why do you think LeBron James is so muscular and gifted and more physically, dominant than a lot of their players? And I said, he's probably myostatin deficient. And her eyes got about 8 feet wide.
Yeah.
She goes, this is exactly what she said. She goes, you know myostatin? Like I have it at my house or something. We're on a date. I know about it. And so we started talking. Turned out she was a professor from that university who ran a research clinic in Florida. Government funded. And she started asking me if I wanted to come down there and get as a test subject, or if I knew anybody, or, they were working on other things like diabetes and different things, but male sex hormones and the effects of them, they were researching. I said, well, I don't know. She goes, well, it pays good. I asked her how much it paid. She told me. I was like, damn, you turn that into a full-time job. They take you down there 30 days. You've got to get ready to get stuck a lot, because they're going to draw blood daily.
Okay. So you did it, actually.
No, I didn't go.
I thought that's what you were saying.
I would have gone. She was telling me. She said, if you're the kind of person that's not up to that type of, observation.
Probing and prodding constantly.
Oh, yeah. You get probed a lot. But I tell you what, for $500 a day, if I had time, I'd go get probed for a month.
Dude, I could make the time for that kind of money.
I got to remember.
I'll have to think about it, man. If you guys don't hear from me for a month, what happened. I took them up on that offer. I'll take it, man. $500 a day. I'm starting to do the math here. Hell yeah. I think I can do that.
I mean, that's where they find the people to do these. They just don't have a sign out on the road. Hey, are you on your gear for 10 years? Come see us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to find people that it fit the profile of what they're looking for. And I fit the profile because of my age and the length of time I had been on testosterone or whatever else. And
nice.
And so I was like prime meat,
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a guy that's been on for like forever. And we can just probe him to death.
It'll do a lot of studies here. We'll find out all sorts of stuff.
Well, as long as those CT scans with contrast, they shoot up your ass, I'm okay with it. I've had that done before too, and that's like that is the worst thing I think I've ever had to do. I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Appendix rupture. So.
Oh God. Well, listen, Scott, it is great to have you here, man. I really appreciate it. And you know what? For everybody who hasn't gone over, I want you to check out advancedtrainingtech.com. That's S2H's website. You know, I also I'm there right now. I'm looking at it. You've got the slide up for Bodybuilding Nerds. So thank you very much. That's awesome. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate y'all. Strength in numbers.
Yeah, I agree, man. So you know, you could go over there and check out the pricing. And it's still building, right? This whole thing.
We're almost done.
It's almost
So
done. Is
it's
this a
just functional today
is it
fully.
a available for phones yet? Like for my iPhone yet? Or are you guys still working on those versions?
That's a good question.
Okay. Well, I'll find out for myself, and I know that that stuff is in the works. So, you know, shout out to Rick as well for putting in all those hours over there. I hope you're paying him very well.
I pay him with my love.
Oh, well, that's the
No,
best price you can get.
well, he's one of the coaches too.
Awesome.
So, you know, he's invested in it, and he's working hard. I mean, he butt called me at midnight last night.
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to go to bed, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't mean to." I go, "You better get some sleep." He goes, "Yeah, I gotta get up at 4 and do legs or something."
Oh God!
Said, "Don't kill yourself over this thing. We'll get it going right."
All right. Well, this has been Advices Radio Q&A for episode 16 with S2H. I'm Scott McNally for Advices Radio. We are out. Keep grinding.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Advices Radio. If you're interested in advertising opportunities, please reach out to me at McNallyDiets@gmail.com or hit me up on Facebook, Scott McNally, or contact me through the Advices Radio Facebook page. Thanks.